Let me ask you this Good Friday, would you like to go to paradise? Would you like to go to heaven, to paradise, to the place of perfection? I certainly would. For me, whether things are going well in life or whether they're going badly in life, I want heaven. Perhaps for you at the moment, things aren't going well. Perhaps life is going badly. Life hasn't turned out well for you. Perhaps your dreams haven't come true in your relationships, in your work, in life as a whole. As you look back over what's happened so far, there's just a stream of disappointments, of disappointed hopes. I wonder if that's you this morning as you come to this Good Friday. You see, that's what that Coldplay song is about. It's about a girl for whom life is painful. She had her dreams and they were big dreams, but they've come to nothing. And paradise for her is an imaginary place that she escapes to in her mind. Now let me read the first verse. When she was just a girl, she expected the world, but it flew away from her reach. So she ran away in her sleep and dreamed of paradise every time she closed her eyes. But maybe life has turned out well for you. Maybe you have tasted the pleasures of this good world. But I expect that you as well must long for paradise, must long for heaven. Because the good things, as good as they are never perfect. And if anything, they're a bittersweet taste of a better reality that we know is out there. We long for the full feast. The writer C.S. Lewis spoke about this. He spoke about how heaven breaks into our world in special moments. He called these moments bright shoots of everlastingness. Bright shoots of everlastingness. Times in life that are just so good that we know that they're a taste of a better world, that there is this paradise to come, a heaven, perfection. Let me quote C.S. Lewis. He says, "These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. They are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited." We long for that country, don't we, friends? That country we haven't visited, that we know is there. You know, God in his word tells us that we know that it's there. God says in his word that he has put eternity into the hearts of men. We know there's another world to come, a better world, and that this life, as good as it can be, isn't all that there is. There is something more, an eternity, a heaven, a paradise. And I think we long for it, don't we? Whether life is going badly or well, we long for paradise, for heaven. And today, friends, I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. Because in our passage, we meet a man who got to go to heaven. In fact, he's there right now. We meet a man who, this very moment, as we sit here this morning, is in paradise. So we're going to learn how to get there. Do you want to go to heaven, friends? Do you want paradise? We're going to learn how. I want you to have a look again at a part of the reading that we had this morning. Luke 23, 39 to 43. Make sure you can see your Bible, please, friends. Have it open. Luke 23. I'm going to read again from sentence number 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Getting to heaven is not about being good. That's the first thing that we see, because this man wasn't good. He was a criminal. He was being executed by the Romans. Crucifixion was the most degrading and humiliating death that the Romans could come up with. Roman citizens couldn't be crucified. They reserved crucifixion for the worst of the worst. It was for enemies of the state, for pirates, for slaves. And it was a horrible way to die. Somebody would take about three days to slowly die on a cross. We don't know what this man did wrong. The account doesn't tell us. But we know that he did wrong. We know that he was a bad man. His crimes were serious, very serious. He's not the sort of guy that you would want your daughter to bring home to meet the family. So friends, we see immediately that being good cannot be the thing that gets us to heaven. It can't be. Otherwise, this man wouldn't have made it. And yet that's what most of us think, don't we? Most people think that good people go to heaven. And most people also think that they're good, or at least good enough, to make it to heaven. But we're not. Now, we may not think that we deserve to die like this criminal, but we do. You see, all of us have committed a great crime. We're actually criminals. Every person, in fact, who's walked the face of the earth has committed a great crime. And I'll tell you what the crime is. We haven't treated God as God. We've all done it. God made us. God loves us. God gives us every good gift we enjoy. But we don't give him the time of day. We don't listen to God when he speaks to us. We don't speak back to God, thanking him for the things that he gives to us. We just plain ignore God. We live life with God a little bit like if I was to speak to you this morning like this. If I was to come up the front and just deliver a sermon to the wall in front of me and just pretend that you're not there, just ignore you, pretend that you don't even exist. It's offensive to you, really, isn't it? It gets pretty frustrating and irritating after a while. You feel offended. What's this man doing? Pretending that we don't even exist. We're here in front of him. But that's what we do to God. We live life like this, just ignoring God, pretending that he's not even in our lives, that he doesn't exist. We all do it, friends. It's a great crime. And then we expect that God will let us into heaven. It's crazy, really, isn't it? It's like trying to crash a party. I don't know if you've got a big party coming up. I hope some of you do. Maybe you're looking forward to celebrating a 21st or a 40th. That's the next one for me. It's frightening. Maybe an 80th for you. I don't know what it'll be. But I hope you're excited about it. Who do you want at your party? You want your friends there, don't you? You want your friends and your family members there. Heaven's just like a party. The Bible talks about that. But imagine if somebody was to knock at the door when you're having this party and say, I'd like to come in. You say, I don't know you, I'm sorry. And they say, well, actually, I'm a very nice person. I've done some good things. And you might say, well, that's great. I'm really pleased to hear that. But I don't know you and you don't know me. I'm sorry, you don't have a place in my party. That's what we'd say to them, wouldn't we? And God's exactly the same. We can't expect that just because we've done some nice things, that God will let us into heaven if we don't know God, if we don't give God the relationship that he wants. And this is the great mistake we've all made. This is the great crime we have all committed. We have not treated God as God. And we can expect him to say to us what we would say to any gate crasher. Away. I don't know who you are. We deserve death like this criminal, all of us. This criminal knew it. He knew that he deserved punishment from God. He said that, sentence 42, when he's talking to the other criminal. Sentence 41, I'm sorry. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. So this criminal who got to heaven, he didn't get there by being good. He knew he wasn't. So it begs the question, doesn't it? How did he get to heaven? How did he make it? Well, let me tell you, friends. He called on Jesus the King to rescue him. Let me say that again. he called on Jesus the King to rescue him. It's all in sentence 42. Sentence 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognized two things about Jesus. Two things, that Jesus is the rescuer and that Jesus is the King. That first thing he says there when he says, Jesus, remember me. It could be translated in a warmer way. Really what he's saying is, Jesus, look after me. Or Jesus, take care of me. Jesus, rescue me. That's what he's asking for. You see, he knows he's in trouble. He knows that he doesn't have a hope in the world except for Jesus. And so he's calling for mercy, for clemency, calling to be rescued. That's what he's saying in that first cry. Andrew Chan was the ringleader of the Bali Nine drug traffickers. He's in jail at the moment in Indonesia, and he's on death row. Things are not looking good at all for Andrew Chan. Just in the last fortnight or so, the Indonesians executed another drug trafficker, and it was the first execution for such an offence in 5 years. But it suggests that they're not softening on how seriously they take this crime. And Bob Carr, our foreign minister, is going to be speaking to his counterpart in Indonesia on Monday, in fact, and he's going to raise Andrew Chan's case. And when he does, he's not going to ask for justice, is he? He's not going to ask for justice for Andrew Chan. The man deserves to be punished, but what he's going to ask for is mercy, clemency, kindness. He's going to ask that in the kindness of the Indonesian authorities, this drug trafficker may get less than he deserves and may be spared the death penalty. That's what this criminal is saying to Jesus on the cross. He's saying, Jesus, spare me, remember me, rescue me. That's the first reason he's in heaven. He calls to Jesus for rescue. And you know, Jesus is able to give this rescue because Jesus is the King. It's the second thing that this criminal recognizes. Jesus is the King. Verse 42 again. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus wouldn't have looked very much like a king at this point, would he? There he is, pierced, hanging, bleeding, suffocating, humiliated, dying a protracted death on a couple of bits of Roman wood, mocked by all around him. King, really? If anything, the cross proved that he wasn't a king, didn't it? That's certainly what all the leaders thought. Did you pick that up in our reading? How all of the leaders were calling on Jesus to come off the cross if he was the king. It's really important. I want us to look at it again. I'm going to pick it up from 35, sentence number 35. Just follow along with me, those verses. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. That's the Jewish rulers. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers, that's the Romans this time, the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. The cross has always confused people. The confusion began here, continues up until this day. But look at this piece of Roman graffiti. A man by the name of Alexamenos was a Christian man, an early Christian man. And the inscription down the bottom reads, Alexamenos worships his God. The man's being mocked for worshipping a man upon a cross. And of course, Jesus is portrayed not as a king, but as a donkey, an ass. That's how stupid it looked to those people. Jesus, a king on the cross. But friends, this second criminal recognized something that we need to recognize if we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. Jesus' death was not his defeat as king. Jesus' death was his conquest. You see, there on the cross, he was dying in our place and being executed for us. There on the cross, Jesus was dying our death that we might be rescued and live in heaven with him. It's so ironic. Everybody was calling Jesus to come down from the cross if he was the king. But precisely because he was the king, Jesus refused to come down from the cross. You see, there he was exercising his rule. There he was conquering his enemies, sin, death, Satan. He didn't deserve to die. Pontius Pilate knew this, even though he sentenced him to death. The second criminal knew this as well when he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." Jesus was dying not because he deserved it. He was innocent. But he was dying because we deserved it. See, Jesus was showing what sort of a king God's king is. He's a servant who rules by loving others, rescuing others. So different to other kings in our world who rule by pillaging others or taking from others. Jesus is the giving king, the serving king, the sacrificing king. And here on the cross, he is exercising his most magnificent rule as he dies for you and as he dies for me, that we might be rescued from our crime of not treating God as God. You see the irony on that sign that the Romans put up above Jesus on the cross. This is the King of the Jews. They thought they were being sarcastic. Again, they thought they were mocking him. But of course it was true. Even on the cross, there is Jesus the King, ruling and rescuing. It's amazing that the leaders mocked Jesus, not realizing that at that very point he's dying to rescue them, even his murderers. And so he can pray that prayer in sentence 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Friends, that's how you get to heaven. You call upon Jesus to rescue you as your king. Would you like to go to heaven? Would you like to be in paradise? That's how it happens. I know a girl called Claire. She's a Christian woman and she's a nurse. And a little while back, Claire was looking after palliative care patients, patients who were dying. And she was looking after these patients in a part of Sydney called Lakemba, where a lot of Muslim people live. Claire was nursing a lot of Muslim patients in their final days and hours. And she was moved to tears to see their pain and their anxiety as they approached death. They had real fear. They didn't know where they were going. There was no sense of peace, no sense of assurance that they were going to heaven. They certainly didn't know Jesus, the rescuer king. And Claire and her husband Stan, Claire's no longer a nurse now. They're working as missionaries and preparing to serve in the Middle East so that they can tell Muslims about Jesus, the rescuer king. Claire doesn't want to see Muslims afraid of dying. She wants to see people meet Jesus, the rescuer king, and rejoice, even in those final moments, knowing that they're going to paradise. My nana, my grandmother, was a woman who did that. She died many years ago now. She was a wonderful Christian woman, and my nana knew Jesus, the rescuer king, and she lived a wonderful life, and she died a wonderful death. She died shedding tears of joy, holding each of my parents' hands, crying. Sad, yes, to be leaving her loved ones, but rejoicing, knowing that she was being received into paradise, for Jesus the King had rescued her. Friend, let me ask you this Good Friday again. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be in paradise? Because you can, you know. You can, but it's not by being good. Give up that illusion. None of us are good enough to go to heaven. No, only Jesus can take us there. And you need to receive King Jesus' rescue. That's what Good Friday is all about. That's why Good Friday really should be called Great Friday. It's a wonderful day. For on this day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus made our rescue possible. And friends, may I urge you to take this rescue now, today. Don't wait until your deathbed. It's true that this criminal was saved by Jesus at 5 minutes to midnight. In the final moments for him, this was a deathbed conversion, but friend, don't wait for that. We don't know whether death might take us by complete surprise. Of course we don't know that. And do you know the one regret that people have once they become Christians? They just wish it had happened earlier. They just wish it had happened sooner. Don't waste another moment, let alone another day. Take the rescue now and live life knowing that you're going to heaven. knowing that you're going to be in paradise with Jesus. Become a Christian today, now, receive Jesus' rescue. I'm going to give you the chance. What I'm going to do is lead us in a prayer that's just like the one that the criminal prayed on the cross. It goes like this. It's going to be up on the screen. Let me read it through first. As I do, think about whether you might like to pray this prayer. And afterwards, I'll pray it. But this is what we'll be praying. Dear Lord Jesus, I have done wrong. I haven't treated God as God. I'm sorry. Thank you that you died on the cross as the rescuer king. Please rescue me. Please become my king. We're going to pray it. If you'd like to be rescued, please pray along in your mind with me. I'll pause for a little while after each sentence. Pray in your mind quietly. God will hear. You don't need to pray out loud. Let me lead us. Dear Lord Jesus, I have done wrong. I haven't treated God as God. I'm sorry. Thank you that you died on the cross as the rescuer king. Please rescue me. Please become my king. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer, Jesus has answered it. He has now, just like he did for that criminal on the cross. Now relax, it doesn't mean that you're going to die today and go to heaven. Relax on that front, please. But what it does mean is that when you do die, you will go to heaven. And so Jesus' wonderful promise to that criminal is your promise as well. That truly, you will be with Jesus in paradise.